Hello everybody. This presentation covers the Virtualization Engine documentation about the Information Center, Virtualization Engine Planning Advisor, and the installation of the Virtualization Engine components. My name is Rob Stagg, and I'm a systems engineer in the IBM Systems and Storage Group within the UK. Let's now move on to slide 2 and look at the agenda. What we're going to cover in this presentation is first looking at the IBM System Software Information Center. I'll talk about what this is, how to access it, and what it contains. Then we'll look at the IBM Virtualization Engine Planning Advisor, how to access that and how to use it. And then we'll take a look at some of the Virtualization Engine installation components. I'll describe the software components of the Virtualization Engine and look at the installation procedures for each of the products. Let's now move to slide 3. At the end of this lecture, you should be able to access the IBM System Software Information Center and find the information you need about Virtualization Engine. You should understand the importance of planning in the deployment of Virtualization Engine and the advantage of using the Planning Advisor. And you should understand how to use the Planning Advisor to organize the deployment of Virtualization Engine in any given context. And you should be able to perform the installation of the different components of the IBM Virtualization Engine. Let's now move on to slide 4 and start the presentation. First, we're going to look at the System Software Information Center. And on slide 5, we're going to see some more details about what that looks like. This screenshot gives you the look and feel of the Information Center. It's split into 3 different panels. At the top, you can see the taskbar. Here you can see the search field, which will help you find the best document for your needs. On the left, you can see the tree of the Virtualization Engine documentation. All the documents have been categorized, and you can navigate through the tree structure in this panel. When you click on one of the leaves, the page and the detail is displayed on the right-hand panel. This gives you a first look at the Information Center and a flavor for what it looks like. Let's now go and have a look at some of the more details. Let's move to slide 6. At the top of the slide is the URL to access the System Software Information Center. This is stored on the Boulder website and should be available on GA. The System Software Information Center is the primary location. That means it's the first place to look for any documentation or guidance about Virtualization Engine version 2 on the web. And the topics covered in this Information Center include deployment planning, and we'll see some examples of that in the next part in the Planning Advisor, all sorts of information related to installation, configuration, and updates, and the lookup section for each of the components, which provides reference information, for example, for VE Console, for Enterprise Workload Manager, and for Resource Dependency Service. Let's now move to slide 7. Look at more detail of the Virtualization Engine context. The first area of the Information Center context is the Virtualization Engine topic. In this part, there's an overview and getting started, which provides high-level conceptual information about what Virtualization Engine is, what the components are that make up the Virtualization Engine, and it provides some getting started, some roadmaps, and directions, and how to move on the path of installing and deploying Virtualization Engine. There's also planning information, which includes an interactive planning advisor, which we'll see later. There are some scenarios which detail business solutions and illustrate the value of the Virtualization Engine, what a business can actually gain, and how it can benefit by managing Virtualization Engine capabilities. After these scenarios, there are installation, management, and troubleshooting topics, which provide procedure documentation on installing the Virtualization Engine, and then a management topic which provides details on day-to-day management, tasks that might need to be done with the Virtualization Engine products, and finally troubleshooting information is also provided. And then there are the Virtualization Engine products and the system's technologies. The last 3 bullets, virtualizing a system, managing a virtual system, and managing a virtual enterprise, are new topics that have been developed for version 2. It's a really high-level approach which deals with the virtualization engine products on the software side, but also deals with the hardware side of virtualization in an enterprise. So some of the systems technologies in the hardware virtualization components are presented there. And then we've got systems management topics and various other IBM systems-related software topics. The whole focus of the System Software Information Center is virtualization engine components. Let's now move to slide 8 and see what kind of information is available in the Information Center. The content in the Information Center is structured in concise pieces of information called topics. Each topic addresses one complete idea, and a topic can have several topic types. So, for example, IBM Director is one of the products that's offered with the virtualization engine, so there's a topic collection with the new Information Center for IBM Director. You can see in the table the types of topic that exist in topic collections in the Information Center, and it should be fairly familiar. These are standard types of documentation. The procedure type helps to understand how to complete tasks. That's really a step-by-step instruction. The concept type helps explain what things are. It may provide high-level works on a topic. The reference information can be programming information, tables of any sort of data, port numbers, details of that sort. And there are also some example scenarios, which are more focused on high-level examples of how your business can take advantage of the virtualization engine and of the value that it can provide. And details provide more background and further information on the topic. The System Software Information Center also provides some interactive resources, and let's look at slide 9 to see those. The Information Center contains more advanced documentations than the traditional one. The table lists the different interactive information available. E-learning provides a path to learn about tasks and concepts in an interactive and user-driven way. It allows you to see in an animated version what the virtualization engine is, and how the virtualization engine works, and how a business can benefit from it. Then there's a section of advisors, similar to wizards, like you'd see in software products. It helps customers make decisions, and the advisors provide output in formal recommendations based upon the input that the customer provides. The Virtualization Engine Planning Advisor is an example. Conceptual animations are based on some work in e-learning modules, but combine animation, text, graphic, and sound. It provides a richer conceptual explanation of a concept than traditional text-based documentation does. Custom checklists are included in the Virtualization and Planning Advisor, so we'll see a little bit more in detail later. But in concept, it provides personalized procedures based on the input from a customer. Interactive tables allow customers to filter information based on their needs. For example, there are interactive tables for operating systems supported for all the virtualization engine products. And finally, the finders are similar to interactive tables, but more of a search mechanism to look up information very rapidly using reference type of information. So, now you know where and how to access the System Software Information Center and what you'll find in it. Remember, the Information Center is the first place to look for information about VE. Store the URL in your favorites list. Let's now move on to slide 10 to look at the next section. And here you can see we're going to be looking at the Virtualization Engine Planning Advisor. Slide 12 discusses the importance of planning. It's really important to understand at this stage how important planning is. Virtualization Engine can be a complex undertaking depending upon many products and what size of network you're dealing with. Planning is central to successful deployment. Among the planning considerations, there is the understanding of the functional capabilities of the virtualization engine products, understanding the supported operating systems and minimum system requirements, determining which products are right for your business, and what you need to order, where the product should be deployed, the identification of prerequisites, and the understanding of the tasks that are needed to perform installation. So let's move on to slide 12. How do you complete your planning? The answer is using the Virtualization Engine Planning Advisor. It's an interactive, flash-based tool that guides the user in building a virtualization engine configuration using a series of questions. After the input phase, the Virtualization Engine Planning Advisor will provide output, which are recommendations for implementing, and that means ordering, deploying, and installing, Virtualization Engine in the enterprise. It really provides a customized look at how to build a Virtualization Engine environment. So where do you find the Virtualization Engine Planning Advisor? It's accessible from within the IBM System Software Information Center, which we just looked at, under the topics Virtualization, Virtualization Engine, Management Collection, Planning. Let's have a quick look at how it works, and move on to slide 13. The idea here is to explain the principle of the Virtualization Engine Planning Advisor, how it works, and how it flows. You can see there are two main sections. On the left is input provided by the customer, what the products they're interested in, what kind of operating system and platform combinations they might have. And when you've gone through that, you'll see some recommendations, the output provided by the Virtualization Engine Planning Advisor. These recommendations help customers to order, deploy, and install Virtualization Engine. So let's move on to slide 14, where we can see the flow of this work. First, we start at the welcome, and we enter the Build Your Engine phase of the advisor, which is shown on the left. This portion is composed of three tasks which guide the customer through the selection of the Virtualization Engine products that they're interested in. Once they've done that, the advisor starts asking questions about the network and topology. Ultimately, to help them figure out where the Virtualization Engine products are going to be installed and on what hardware, on what operating systems, and what operating system versions. The advisor also provides all the prerequisites needed by each of the Virtualization Engine components. Finally, these inputs result in the recommendations of the advisor, which is shown in the customized installation plan, and this is shown on the right. There are four sections of output. View My Engine is based on the configuration that was defined in Build Your Engine input phase of the advisor. And then we have three sets of information, which show ordering information, deployment topology, and installation information. As we move to slide 15, you'll see some screenshots. This is the first step of the Build Your Engine portion, selecting system services, and allows you to select the virtualization services the customer is interested in. I like to think of this as like shopping online. My Engine, which you add the components to, is similar to My Basket on a shopping website. On the left of the screen, you can see some vertical panels. This shows you the stage of the process you're in, and here you can see that we're in Build Your Engine. Let's move to slide 16. The second step is selecting the management server. At the top right of the screen, underneath My Engine, you can see the selections that you might have made on the previous screen, selecting the different products, IBM Director, EWM, and so on. You then make the selections for the management server that are relevant to the ones that you want to implement. Once product selection is complete, for each Virtualization Engine component, the wizard allows you to create a management server, define combinations of platforms and operating systems on which to deploy the desired Virtualization Engine components. On slide 17, you can see the Select Manage Nodes panel. This works in the same way as the previous one. The wizard allows you to define what combination of platforms and operating systems are being managed in this environment. And so, let's move to slide 18. You can see here that we are now in the Customized Installation Plan section of the tool. The output listed here provides a detailed list of the Virtualization Engine components to be purchased, with all the necessary information you need to complete that order, PID numbers, licensing information, and so on. If we move on to slide 19, you can see the same information related to those products, but telling you about how to install them. And it gives you a checklist of things that you need to complete. a recommended order of tasks with information to complete each task, which guides you through the installation. And on this chart, you can see the information related to Virtualization Engine Console as an example. If we move now to slide 20, you can see the last piece of the customized information plan portion, deploying information. This output provides all the information about hardware and system requirements for each of the products that the customers may want to install, and this is depicted with graphical representations. This is the last slide concerning the Virtualization Engine Planning Advisor. I hope it shows you the importance of planning, where to find it, and gives you some examples of how to use it. Let's now move on to the next section, slide 21, and take a look at the Virtualization Engine installation. The first part of this will be the software components. Slide 22 takes us on to look at the overall view of these software components. There are three different types of component: Virtualization Engine services, endpoint packages, and the common infrastructure. The services comprise Enterprise Workload Manager, for example, which provides an end-to-end view of the environment from an application point of view. IBM Director, which provides tools for various administration tasks, and Resource Dependency Service, which is able to detect automatically the topology of the environment. Then there's a group of endpoint packages. These are agents for Enterprise Workload Manager and IBM Director. And the last element is the common infrastructure. These are the basic software elements on which the Virtualization Engine infrastructure is based. It's composed of Virtualization Engine Console, which is the single graphical user interface to access all of the Virtualization Engine features, the bridges, which allow the Virtualization Engine Console to gather information coming from EWLM and IBM Director, and the resource modeling, which is used by the Resource Dependency Service. The last part of this are the common components. Let's move to slide 23 to look at some more details of these. The idea of the common components is to have a group of middleware infrastructure commonly used by multiple Virtualization Engine management servers, so that we have only one instance of all these components, shared by all the management servers, common versions and levels of the infrastructure. These common components will be installed on management servers only. There's no need to install them on managed nodes. And they're automatically installed based on their prerequisite relationship to other Virtualization Engine offerings. And on the chart, you can see details of the levels of the various software components which you may need to work with. Let's move on to slide 24. The matrix you can see here provides an overview of the supported platforms. You can see here that the Resource Dependency Service is available on Linux only, whereas all the other components, Virtualization Engine Console, Virtualization Engine Console Bridges, IBM Director, and Enterprise Workload Manager, are available on the four major IBM operating systems: Windows, Linux, AIX, and i5 OS. There's a full compatibility matrix of products detailed at the end of this presentation if you need more detailed information. Let's now have a look at the installation dependencies which exist between the different components. This is shown on slide 25. The idea here is to define if a common component has to be installed on the same system as a Virtualization Engine component, represented by an L in the matrix, standing for local, or has to be part of the Virtualization Engine environment as a whole, represented by E for environment, or may reside on a remote system, represented by R for remote. The Virtualization Engine console, as an example, needs the WebSphere application server, the ISC, and the core components locally, shown by L, and is based on the directory server and the DB2 of the Virtualization Engine environment, shown by E. And you can see similarly for console bridges, resource dependency services, EWLM, which of the components it needs and where those elements are located within the environment. One important thing to notice is that the directory server and DB2 can be shared by all of the components. Let's now move on to slide 26. The directory server is where Virtualization Engine stores data, and it's classified in three different repositories. The Configuration Repository, or Global Configuration Repository, GCR. This repository logically groups systems with Virtualization Engine software installed. The root entity is named Virtualization Engine Environment, and it contains global data for any Virtualization Engine environment, including installation and configuration settings. There's a strong relationship between Virtualization Engine and environment. Any instance of the Virtualization Engine can belong to only one environment, from installation to uninstallation. The second repository is WebSphere Application Server Security User Registry, which contains authentication for the WebSphere application servers installed locally on the systems. It's used by the Virtualization Engine console, the bridges, and resource dependency service. The final repository is the Identity Mapping Repository, which contains identity data for the enterprise, authentication data for each Virtualization Engine service, and it's used by systems for identity lookup. Let's now move on to slide 27. To install the components of Virtualization Engine, we provide a Virtualization Engine installer. But there are some Virtualization Engine components that are not part of this installer. As you can see, the installation of IBM Director, except for the bridge to VE console, is external. Director has its own installer for the server and for the agents, with the exception of i5 OS, where that Director server is installed as part of the VE installer process. Resource Dependency Service, EWLM Domain Manager, EWLM Bridge to VE Console, and IBM Virtualization Engine Console are all part of the VE installer. The EWLM agents are extracted from the installation media by the VE installer, but the actual installation is not part of the installer. Once the files are copied, you need to run the specific installer for the agents. So to sum up, VE installer allows customers to install most of the Virtualization Engine components, except the Director server and agents and the EWLM agents. Let's now look at slide 28, where we're going to move on to looking at the installation procedure for Virtualization Engine. Slide 29 shows us the Getting Started sheet, which must be read before you start doing any work. This provides useful information about Virtualization Engine, a brief summary of each Virtualization Engine major component, links to find information on the subjects, and the first three steps to start with Virtualization Engine. So on slide 30, we show the sequence of events that we go through in order to get Virtualization Engine installed. First, we do the environment setup, then we select the services, copy the media, do the three stages of pre-installation configuration, product installation, and finally post-installation configuration. If we go to slide 31, we'll see the first stage of this. The first step is in the Virtualization Engine environment setup. Typically, the first task is accepting licensing agreements and providing paths for installation and login directories. The wizard, which drives this, will verify basic system requirements and establish the LDAP directory server for the installation. Customers can use an existing Tivoli directory server, if it's the correct prerequisite version, or install a local directory server using the wizard. This step requires operating system user IDs and passwords for DB2 and directory instance owners. And finally, there's the setup of the name of the Virtualization Engine environment. Again, there are two possibilities. First, to create a completely new environment, or to join a previously created one. Let's move to slide 32. There are a sequence of screenshots on this chart which show the sequence of events during the installation. The first step is to accept the software license agreement, and as you press the Enter key to go through the slideshow, you'll see the following screenshots appear. Two of them show the definition of the installation and login directories, and the last one is a checking of the system requirements. Slide 33 then takes us to look at LDAP discovery. The next step is the establishment of the LDAP directory server for the installation, because virtualization needs an LDAP to store data in those three different repositories which we've already mentioned. The Virtualization Engine Environment repository, WIPS for Application Server Security Users and Groups, and Identity Mapping repository. Virtualization Engine supports several versions of the Tivoli Director Server, 5.1, 5.2, 6, and the IBM Directory Server for iSeries. If you already have one installed, you can use that, or you can install a new one. For a local installation, there will be some intermediate steps to provide basic information, plus a media copy step, and then the directory server will be installed silently. Let's now move to slide 34. The screenshots you can see here show the different steps for the LDAP configuration. The first is the selection of the directory server installation preference to use an existing server or install a local one. And then you'll see a sequence showing the steps of the installation of the VE installer, then for the configuration of DB2 as a prerequisite for any LDAP server, and the last three screenshots are the configuration of the directory server itself. Let's then move to slide 35. Now we've set up the directory server, we're going to talk about the global configuration repository configuration. This repository is the first one I present here, stored in the directory server. As I mentioned, the GCR stores global data for an entire deployment of VE, and that applies to machines across the environment. Security settings, LTPA keys for communication between WebSphere application servers, WIPS for application server security settings, and single sign-on information. The settings stored in the repository will apply to all systems that join a VE environment. A VE environment and its settings persist until all of the VE software is uninstalled from that installation directory. Slide 36 again shows the screenshots of the different steps that create a virtualization engine environment. The first is the introduction to the environment, and following that, the screenshots are configuration information, where you're inputting the directory server host name, port, administration ID, and password, and a screen for users of i5 OS. And the final one is information about the environment itself, its name and description. So this is the end of the first installation step, VE environment setup. Let's now move on to slide 37. The second step of the installation procedure is the selection of the virtualization engine products you want to install. The wizard provides a typical interface where you have to toggle the product you need. If you select an outer level, it selects all sub-selections, and you can toggle individual levels. Information of space available and space required is provided, and the space required changes as you make different selections. All virtualization engine offerings for each operating system target platform show the same selection panel, with the same note, if licensed, for EWLM and RDS. It is possible to select something that has not been ordered. The product selection affects dependent installation actions. And depending on the product you've selected, it may require installation of some common components, and you'll be prompted for these during the media copy phase. It creates repositories in the directory server for selected products, and it will install the selected services. Let's now move on to slide 38. This slide presents a list of all the products that you could install through the Virtualization Engine Server installer. EWLM, Resource Dependency Service, IBM Virtualization Engine Console, and the IBM Director Bridge to IBM Virtualization Engine Console. And some of these have sub-elements, like the Domain Manager, the Manage Nodes, and the Bridge to the IBM Virtualization Engine Console for EWLM. You select those that you actually want to install by pressing the box, and then you proceed onto the next stage, which is on slide 39. The media copy is the third step of the installation procedure. Depending on the products you have selected in the previous step, you'll be prompted to provide different media at this level. This step assures all the files are available before actually starting the installation processing. It allows the core portion installation in silent mode with a response file, and allows you to install products via file sharing. The wizard is able to detect any previous media copied and won't ask you for it again. If the wizard prompts for a media that you don't have, you have two choices. Firstly, to go back and deselect the products that need the media, or cancel the whole process, obtain the media, and restart the installation. Media images should be deleted when they're no longer needed. Let's now move on to slide 40. The fourth step of the installation procedure is the pre-installation configuration, which consists of configuring the WebSphere Application Security Registry, the Identity Mapping Repository, the two other repositories we mentioned earlier stored in the directory server, and some product-specific installation panels, for example console port assignments, the EWLM Domain Manager Directory, and the console auto-start option. There are some more details shown on slide 41. The configuration of the WebSphere Application Security Registry is now automated in a wizard. It's an important difference compared to version 1 of the virtualization engine, which required detailed directory server configuration as a prerequisite to installing Virtualization Engine Console. This LDAP users and groups configuration requires minimal user input by accepting default values, uses the same directory server that hosts the VE environment, and default user named VE Admin, added to the VE Administrator group. And it automatically creates the five user groups on the directory server: the administrator, the monitor, the user, anonymous, and the manager. Let's now move to slide 42. Here you can see the set of screenshots that show the automated WebSphere application server security configuration. From the introduction at the start, the following screenshots are configuration input values needed by the wizard. You can choose to keep the default values and just have to click Next. The last one is a summary of the information that will be created on the directory server. Let's now move to slide 43, where we can see the configuration of the Identity Mapping Repository. This is the last of the Virtualization Engine repositories and works in a similar way to the configuration of WebSphere Application Security Registry. It's automated in a wizard, and again requires minimal user input. By default, this repository is stored in the same directory server that hosts the VE environment. This repository is used for the single sign-on, and if there's another IMR in the enterprise, Identity Mapping Repository, it can be reused. Let's now move on to slide 44. Here you can see the screenshots showing the different steps of configuring the Identity Mapping Repository. As before, the first is an introduction, and then the following screenshots allow you to configure the repository. You have the possibility of keeping the default value to minimize the inputs. And the last one gives you a summary of the whole configuration. Let's now move on to slide 45. The fifth step of the installation procedure is the product installation. First, there's a pre-install summary, which lists all the products to be installed, where they'll be installed, and the total size of the installation. Then the wizard shows the installation progress indicators, and finally, a post-install summary. Slide 46 then takes us into the post-installation configuration. This is the last step of the installation procedure, and consists of the Virtualization Engine Console Launch URL and options, the EWLM post-install setup, the domain manager configuration, some README files, and if required, the reboot. And when you finish this process, the installation of the virtualization engine and the process of going through the virtualization engine wizard is now complete. Slide 47 then takes us on to the next stage, which is the installation of IBM Director. As we discussed before, IBM Director is not part of the VE installer, so this shows us how we can install it. On slide 48, you can see the components of IBM Director. Four different components are here: the Director Console, the Director Agent, the Director Core Services, and the Director Server itself. Let's move on to slide 49 and see how to install IBM Director. The components are standalone products, but they join a virtualization engine environment when a Director bridge to the virtualization engine console is installed on the same system. Some of the other virtualization engine products need IBM Director to function correctly. The virtualization engine console uses it as a management source. Update Assistant uses it for an endpoint deployment and service. And be careful, because as we mentioned a few slides ago, IBM Director is not installed through the VE installer, except when you're using i5 OS. So let's move to slide 50 and see some of the screenshots that follow the installation procedure for IBM Director. The first screen shows you which components to install, and then you'll see the various welcome screens of the installer, the terms of the license agreement, and the following screens allow you to select features to install and configure various settings on the system. So that allows you to install IBM Director on the server. Now let's move on, slide 52, to the agents. And on slide 52, you can see the different ways of installing the agents. Through IBM Director Server, by using the software distribution feature to distribute and install automatically on the remote systems, by distributing the installation files on the target system by any means, maybe FTP or media copy, and run the installer locally, and for the EWLM agents, by using the remote package deployer scripts, which are provided by the VE installer. You can choose any of these methods which are convenient for you. Slide 53 takes us through to the last section of the installation discussion, additional information. On slide 54, you can see the platform support full matrix. This is part 1 of 4. This and the next 3 slides show the individual platforms and the support that they offer for each of the components. On slide 54 here, you can see X series. On slide 55, you can see I and P series. Slide 56, Z series. And slide 57, other systems. And other systems are Solaris systems and HP UX systems supporting the EWLM managed node. These slides here are provided for reference, and I'm not going to go through them in detail today. You can use those for reference as and when you need to look at those. So let's move on to slide 58. All the virtualization engine products require 2 gigabytes of disk space and 2.5 gigabytes for the common components. Concerning memory, the common components require 300 megabytes, Director Server 100 megabytes, and Director Bridge to VE Console 200 megabytes. The values provided here are approximate and depend on the installation and the platform type. Let's move on and have a look at an example of how the implementation might look on slide 59. This is how you might envisage the interrelationship of the various components of the system in a virtualization engine environment. All the virtualization engine products are based on the common components installed on Windows, in this case, but it could be Linux as well. The virtualization engine console installed on Windows, and the 3 other products in this example are installed on Linux SLES 9. EWLM and Director could of course be on Windows as well. The virtualization engine console receives information collected by RDS, EWLM with a bridge, and IBM Director also with a bridge. This implementation is not a specific recommendation, it's just an example, so you can see how an environment might look and see the dependency between the different products. The final chart, slide 60, adds some additional comments which are related to specific platforms that you need to be careful of. In conclusion, this presentation has shown you where to find information about Virtualization Engine, how to use the Planning Advisor, and also given you some guidance on installing Virtualization Engine. This is the end of the presentation. Thank you very much.